Oppenheimer.
Russia, and a small zone of islands near Australia. First, it seems like these three things have nothing in common. I mean, after all, they're separated by over 50 years of advancement and thousands of miles, but combined, it's the single best way you could explain the ADMEC to anyone. And you're anyone.
I think I've connected the dots already.
We'll see. I am Isander.
And I am Coda.
And today, by popular demand, we'll be covering the Mech Boys. But before we get into that, we do have a Patreon that you guys have been joining in mass. We actually shoot and record a second episode every week, but the only way you get to see that is by heading on over to patreon.com/IsanderandCoda. We also have a community Discord that has been a ton of fun to be in and interact with, so if you want to get in on any of that, please head on over to patreon.com/IsanderandCoda. So far, we just shattered about 1,000, and I'm setting us up for our next goal, which I'll announce in the next video. Also, speaking of which, you guys choose that video, not me. The options are the Sisters of Battle, Inquisition, and Assassin Norm. That's it. Patreons made their voices heard, and now it's your turn. You gotta say it with chest, because Well, I suppose in a cosmic sense, I have control. But I don't have control over this. So if you want your faction seen, let it be seen. If not, well...
Let it be seen later.
Let it be seen later, possibly. But there are only two spots left. So it's... Out of the three, there will be one person who doesn't get made. So we'll see who that is. Again, Sisters, Inquisition, or the Assassin Norm. Now, let us get back to the Adeptus Mechanicus. Starting off with their every mega corporation's dream. They would not be out of place in cyberpunk, for example.
I've seen a little bit of their art. Yes, they would fit in.
Well, it's not just that. You know the way in a key part of cyberpunk media is companies getting so big that they can, in some cases, challenge government, and others just be such a hassle the government goes, it's not worth it.
Or they
not worth it.
Own just bits and pieces of people, and that's just a normal thing.
Exactly. That's what they are, cranked up to 22. The Imperium is huge. It's huge, and it's incredibly powerful. I couldn't undersell them if I tried. They have weapons that never jam, can punch through concrete like it's nothing, fire hundreds of rounds without any issues whatsoever, and that's their standard gear. They have augmented space marines and Primarch demigods to whom they're fiercely loyal to. I can say with chest, there's no one nation, hell, all of them combined, that would stand a chance against them if they were to go into full armed conflict.
They're tough.
Some people would even say, not me, but I've heard in some circles that some people would even say there's not any organization in sci-fi that could stand up to them. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying other people have said that.
I really like the Mechanicus.
Mm-hmm.
I would debate that one.
Again. No, not the Mechanicus, the wider Imperium.
Oh, the wider Imperium?
Yes. I've heard people argue that the wider Imperium, when not fighting everything at once and fighting any one thing, very few things in fiction could stand a chance. I can't speak on how valid that is. I'm sure somebody can pull out a world where there's just 100 Thanoses running around.
The Flood from Halo.
But all I'm saying is I can see where they come from. The Imperium is a machine that churns out war and suffering on a scale you cannot wrap your head around. It's the most brutal regime imaginable. And that's not me saying that.
They're tough.
That's the pilot for the universe.
They're tough,
that's
yeah.
That's how they're built.
The Imperium is big guys.
But they still don't mess with the ADMEC too much. Yeah. Because good luck fueling all that suffering and war without weapons and armor. It's impossible. While technically they are a part of the Imperium like everybody else, they have a ton of autonomy. Possibly more than any other faction. There's a few that pretty much can do whatever they want. Inquisitors come to mind immediately. They can just blow up planets and then say, they were heretics. What's your source? Trust me, bro.
They were heretics.
Are you a heretic?
Are you going to question me?
Exactly. But bar the Inquisition and a few others, the ADMEC have a ton of just free reign. So while they get really close to heresy a lot of the time, they get a pass pretty much every single time because you can't win a war without them. To put their production capacity to scale, because again, it's the Imperium. You know how they churn things out. The AdMech is the equivalent of if you just picked a private military company and said, here's a country, here's a populace that worships you like a cargo cult, and the EPA doesn't exist. Make weapons.
Have fun.
And you get your own private army, and we'll pay you whatever you charge us for it.
And we don't even care what your opinions are.
That's the Mechanicus. They're so big and almost standalone in nature that, in theory, on paper, some people, not me, would argue that the AdMech could survive without the Imperium, but not the other way around.
Mm.
The argument is, due to the sheer size of the Imperium, and because they're fighting everyone, everywhere, all at once, if the AdMech were to leave, they'd implode. They would just implode immediately, and
it's too much pressure and no more weapons.
And the counter is, the Imperium could send all its full force down to bear on them, but then congrats, you destroyed the thing you wanted. You have a bunch of worlds, but in the process, you killed pretty much every specialist.
Also, that's Mars. That's really close to home. That'd still do some like after-effect damages on the solar system.
Again, if the Imperium wanted to put its full back into destroying the AdMech, they could. It just wouldn't be worth it. There's not a universe where it's worth it. So they just leave them be, and the AdMech does what the AdMech does, and everyone's happy. So long as, you know, the furnaces are still going.
And the toasters are still flowing.
Yeah, I was going to go the whole episode without that. One of those, but there we go.
He who controls the toasters controls the universe.
That's not too far from what they do, actually. They do hoard technology violently. It's one of their main things, actually. It ties into their whole religion, which is the best place to start when talking about the AdMech, because it's kind of an ironic twist of fate. The most scientifically advanced branch is the most, or one of the most, fanatically religious. And I mentioned this earlier. For clarity, I'll explain it here. A cargo cult is a term that became popular when this teeny tiny island, kind of close to Australia, went from fire being the new in thing to, oh my god, we're witnessing the largest armed conflict of advanced nations ever. They got a front row seat to the Second World War. Yes. And because the various nations wanted to build bases there, they would often drop cargo and here's, you know, supplies from the modern world.
Here's some supplies.
Exactly.
Try them out.
They obviously were okay with this. Going from fire to denim is quite a jump. They were overjoyed. But once the war ended, the nations left. There's no point in staying there. It was just a fantastic staging ground and a base. Once that was done, that was done. However, the people kind of were fans of the cargo, but they didn't know how to bring it back. So they worked off of the knowledge base that they have. They don't know what radio is. They don't know what planes are. They don't have that foundation. So how do you bring the planes and cargo back? Well, they kept that runway lit, so let's put torches where the lights used to be. Maybe then the cargo will come back. Oh, that doesn't work? Well, let's build straw versions of those satellites they used to communicate. That still didn't work. Let's build massive straw versions of the planes that dropped off cargo. This is a real thing. They actually did fairly good jobs of it. And they would do drills the same way the military did when they were on the base in an attempt to try and summon them. Because they could only build off of what they have. Isaac Newton said it best. The only reason I'm capable of anything that I am now is because I stand on the shoulders of giants. They didn't get that. They couldn't do that. So how do I summon cargo without knowing what cargo is? We reach for the divine.
Let's just do what we saw brought the cargo last time.
Exactly. It's super easy to mock them, but if you look at it from where they would be coming from, I can see how they got
it. It's pretty reasonable.
Exactly. The Mechanicus does the same thing, just on a different tier. Instead of trying to bring cargo back, it's, oh, that's a plasma reactor. How do we get that to run consistently? Because a good chunk of their proper knowledge base is gone. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. We have the same materials our ancestors have. Without that knowledge base, you can't accomplish pretty much anything that we can now. I know we're getting philosophical, but it's because people like to boil them to toaster fingers. But they do a lot more than that, and it's fairly reasonable how they got here, actually. Because I could load, I can say this with chest, I could pick any single person in the audience right now, including you, and give you a exact verbatim manual on how to build a modern fighter jet and then shunt you into the past. You couldn't do it. It's not possible. You need...
Don't have the tools.
Millennia of tooling, mineral refinement. So much is needed before you can even begin to take flight that it wouldn't be possible.
Explaining airfoils to a medieval peasant.
That's what you'd be stuck doing. The Mechanicus, thankfully, haven't been stuck back in time, but they live in a world where that base isn't just gone. It's not, oh, we misplaced it. It was removed on purpose.
It was just deleted.
It was deleted. It's gone. It's properly gone, and the only way to rebuild it is over time, slowly, and carefully, which they just don't have. They've been trying, but they just don't have that. It's why they're so anti-experimentation. They're not, well, they are weird cultists, don't get me wrong, but look at it from their perspective. Let's take the jet example, except I cut you out of the equation, and just send a jet back to ancient Rome. Do you want them just sitting in the cockpit pressing buttons?
No.
That's not how you do that. Their best bet is to try and understand the manual, do whatever weird things it's telling you to do, and pray that it just works every single time. Because if this breaks, I don't know how we're going to fix this. There's no hope. That's where the Mechanicus is stuck on a different scale. If they just go into every machine they find and start pushing buttons, planets will disappear. Just like that. And nobody's going to go, oh, you know, well, you tried your best. No.
No, you destroyed a planet.
You destroyed a planet.
You hit the planet delete button. Why'd you delete the planet?
And another reason that they're so anti-experimentation isn't just you could destroy a planet. It's this technology that led to, in a roundabout way, that technology is what led to the technology not being around anymore. Long story short, machines rose up and wiped out a lot.
Oh, they had their own butler and jihad.
Yeah, they had a whole problem. Before this, it was in its prime. Humanity as a whole was doing fantastic. Mars went from red, inhospitable dot to actually verdant, livable planet.
They played Surviving Mars in real life.
And then they turned it right back to red.
Because red is a cooler color.
Exactly. This is their version of the Burning of Alexandria, and I'm glossing over a lot. It is such a bad time, people just refer to it as Old Night.
Old Night.
Yes. It's a very, very cool name. Very cool name.
Old Night.
Yeah. Basically, overnight, mankind collapses with just terrifying swiftness. All their technology turns on them. New demons start popping up left, right, and center. Warp storms are everywhere. It's
disorienting.
It's disorienting. Then things were kind of fine. Kind of fine.
Kind of. Only kind of.
Yeah. Big E kind of did his thing after all this and started uniting everything everywhere.
He said, okay, we're done. We're done with this whole, like, feudalist, like, okay, you do this, you do this, you do this. No, we're doing one thing.
Actually, hold on. To go back a bit. That whole dark age is part of why the knights are so, well, they behave like knights of old, because the way they survived is by just pulling the lever of progress all the way back. They went as far back as possible, literally burned witches.
They went full-on medieval peasant.
And to be fair, the witches at the time were actually spawning demons, so...
They were real witches.
It did work.
It wasn't like we saw a woman who can do math and we said, witch.
Except they also had giant titans, which is really, really cool. But the Emperor does his thing, unites Earth first, and then starts going out to the wider universe. Again, to put into perspective how much of a big deal Mars was at the time, he didn't just roll up and say, join me or die. He signed a treaty with them. It's how they're still as autonomous as they are today. He walked up and said, look, I frankly don't care very much what you do. I'd rather you were atheist, but can you make guns? Can you make armor? If yes, just sign here. And you can keep doing what you want to do. I don't care.
You are too essential. I can't care about your religion.
I don't care. Just sign here. And so they did. And that's how that they became this empire within an empire thing. And it's this foundation that lets them kind of do stuff that anybody else would be severely questioned for. They have boiled oceans away. And when asked why, more factory space. They have turned worlds effectively into Venus, and when asked why, Well, you wanted armor.
You wanted armor. We needed to get the metal somehow.
They run such tight ships. It is either Gilliman's worst nightmare or best. I'm not sure what it is. Their ships are run so tight. Their margins are so razor thin that in some worlds, if one shipment of food doesn't make it, everybody starves. It's a real catastrophic problem that could happen.
They're running with no overhead, but I guess it's efficient.
You are fed and augmented exactly what is needed to do your job and nothing else. Unless you're a member of the cult itself, which we'll get to later. For now, let's jump back to the crusade. It's actually right after the whole crusade biggies thing that thing I mentioned in, I think, actually every episode so far happened. I'll give you three guesses. It involves somebody very bald.
It's the horse hair.
That's exactly
horse right. Hair. It always comes back to Horace. Literally everything. All comes back to him.
All because Dad didn't give him enough hugs. That's it. That's it. And so when the heresy kicked off, the Mechanicus, just like, well, the Mechanicum at the time.
The Mechana what?
God's sake. The Admech. The Admech at the time did what the rest of the Imperium did, and right down the middle. Some joined Horus, some stayed loyal with the Emperor. The guy running Mars, actually, didn't think the Emperor was all that, and so he immediately joined Horus on the spot, basically. Oh. And so there's a whole civil war on Mars.
And he was again. He was allowed back?
No, he wasn't.
Speaking in past tense.
No, this is in past tense, yes. If information was screwy before this, it was hopeless after. You have to understand, the fall was pretty equal opportunity. Everybody suffered. The heresy hit the Mechanicus, or the Admech, really, really hard. Because it's... Earth was the prime target. But on a cosmic scale, Mars is just right next door. They're going to get a ton of flack, too, just by process of being that close. You pair that with the fact that, well, it's the Imperium's, one of their main worlds to produce things.
Big factory world,
It's a huge target. And this wasn't just any guy setting these targets. This was Horus, the Emperor's favored son, and a person who canonically didn't start a fight he couldn't win. I cannot undersell Horus at this time. He was not only brilliant, but he had all of Chaos fully backing him, and everything was on the table.
He was a threat.
Including proper information warfare. He would, on purpose, decimate their storage systems just to ensure victory. Because, by any means necessary.
He'll win.
It's also something I'm kind of curious about in real life, because... super easy for us to all say, well, there are some things we shall never hit during times of war, but as we all know, when war kicks off, either by accident or on purpose, things get hit. So I'd be curious to see what the long-term damage of purposely targeting someone's information systems would do to them. I'm not sure. I feel like that'd be an interesting thing.
It'd be pretty bad, I think.
And we have enough knowledgeable people in the comments, so I feel like I could get a good feel on that. But anyway, in the Mechanicus' case, we can see what happened. They're up a creek without a paddle. It's not great. It's actually where the Dark Mechanicus come from. These are the ones who split for...
Didn't know about the Dark Mechanicus.
Yeah, they need more written about them.
That's why I don't know about them.
Yeah, it's Chaos Admech. And part of the problem is there... Because Chaos hasn't been written well all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been reduced a bit. They're fine with experimentation, which is really cool. The regular Admech hate that.
Well, they're chaotic.
Yeah, the Dark Admech are okay with that. The problem is their version of experimentation is reduced to, we have a tank. Let's cram a demon into it. Interesting. It jostled about. Okay, write that down. Now, and hear me out on this. This may be crazy. Let's fit two demons in there. That's what they're stuck
doing. Two-for-one demon special.
Exactly. It's. I'm being reductive, but also I'm kind of not. Because one of the things I saw when I was researching this episode, they created a way to jam other Titans by just violently torturing a pilot and broadcasting his screams.
Ah.
To be fair, imagine trying to fight a jet and you just hear somebody howling at the top of his lungs.
That's frightening, but...
it would work. Good luck communicating anything.
Unethical, but I don't think they care.
Exactly. There's hope on the horizon, though. There's a new Chaos wannabe god in the making.
Chaos wannabe?
Yeah, exactly. And it would be very interesting to see how they interact with the dark AdMech and the regular AdMech. But we'll see if they get written about. I really hope they do. I really hope they do. They need more. But after the heresy, they did what the rest of the Imperium did, which was, I want payback. I want payback. Because after Horus fell, Chaos kind of lost a lot of its momentum. And so the Imperium was able to punch back fairly hard, pushing them all the way back into the Eye of Terror. During this is kind of what started the path they're on today, with war after war after war, with new theaters constantly opening, just left, right, and center. We touched on this a bit in the Tau video, and people actually fairly mentioned that war has led to some of the largest advancement in our time, which they're right.
Yeah.
So one would think the AdMech being drenched in eternal war would be fantastic. It would help them rebuild those missing chunks. But what I think it is, and I'm curious to hear about other people's opinions on this, is short-term, war will jumpstart any practical use of technology. Pretty much, if it can be applied to the enemy with force, you will get the budget to apply it. I don't care. Any theories you have will be applied as violently and as quickly as possible, just because we have to win. Hell, if we lose, it doesn't matter.
We funded the Spruce Goose because we were like, is this going to be a thing that's going to be better against the enemy? Do it.
Mm-hmm. But it also stunts the hell on the research, the vital research that goes into the theories behind all this, right? While also slowly degrading infrastructure, services, living conditions, and according to the Red Cross, who just decided to drop a banger of a quote, human dignity, I suppose. But a good example of this is why Oppenheimer and crew were able to develop a bomb impressive enough to monologue about, which, by the way, is an aside, I don't care what anybody says, I don't care what the movie shows, I don't care what his friends say, he practiced in the mirror.
Oh, absolutely.
He you know he was up for weeks going, what's a needlessly hard quote I can drop right now? Because this could change the world, and I need to be quotable in this moment. So you know he was running through them pretty much about 5 quotes a day before he got it. Before he got the whole, I am become death.
I am become death, destroyer over war.
To be fair, which is a phenomenal quote.
To anybody who says he didn't realize what he was doing, he was a physicist. He was doing the math the whole time. He knew what he was doing. When he said, I am become death, destroyer of worlds, he was being dramatic, and that was entirely because he knew, my name's going to be in a history book. Might as well make it flashy.
1,000,000%. But that's a wonderful example of how war can really speed up something, like nuclear research in that, but not necessarily speed up the research behind other applications and the consequences of it. Hence why we were able to level 2 cities overnight, but didn't know about the full horror and long-term damage that would come from that, while also not fully knowing, or at least, I'm sure there was some rumblings about this, but we didn't really fully understand the full breadth of what it could be used for at the time, either.
Well, it took us, like, 10, 15 years to figure out, wait, we could make power generators out of this?
Exactly. So it's why short war will jumpstart everything forward, which is pretty much what we've seen in our world. Short relative to 40K, which is never ending. Short wars would speed things up, so the AdMech would actually benefit from short, just, oh, great, we figured that out. Oh, great, we figured that out. The problem is they're stuck in long wars forever, and their infrastructure is slowly getting chipped away. They don't have the time to figure out the why behind anything.
This is a 10,000-year war of attrition, and exactly. You think they have the resources to spare to start making new things?
They could make new things, but figuring out the full why behind everything and other ways they could use what they already have? No,
it's not happening.
No, not at all. That's not an option. Which is why they're stuck in this position where they're marching forward with a roll of duct tape in their hand, constantly fixing everything and praying it doesn't fall apart. I'd be curious to hear other people's opinions on that, though, of the long-term effects of war on tech. But for the purposes of this, that's one of the things that keeps the AdMech constantly struggling. It ties neatly into why they're also a bit of a cargo cult, because good luck storing information for a long period of time. It's a real problem we've bumped into in our lifespans, basically, where we don't have any human things that have lasted long. Here's the thing, moral of the story. Nuclear research leaves behind waste. We have put that waste in some hilarious places. There's footage of us dumping it into the oceans, like just raw barrel after barrel. It will be a problem for thousands of years to come, and so far, we've not found anything built human that can last that long, except for religion. It's a fantastic way to keep information over a very, very, very long period of time. Sure, you'll have denominations and disagreements over what the true meaning is, but the general concept, the gist, stays fairly stable in the grand scheme of things, which is why we've suggested doing that for nuclear research and hazards.
I mean, I've seen that happen. Like, there are certain like storage facilities for nuclear waste where the outside of the building doesn't look like anything practical. It looks horrifying, and it doesn't look horrifying through any of like artistic perspective. Like, it is just genuinely just like sends a deep shock of I don't want to be there into the back of your brain. And a lot of it also kind of co-opts religious imagery to say this is just going to kill you.
I mean,
because it's just going to last a while.
It's better than leaving hieroglyphics that would, you know, if you can't figure them out, you get cancer. Whoops.
Yeah.
So it's, this is why I really like the AdMech, because it's so plausible. Everything they do, at least when it comes to their feelings on technology and storing it and upgrading it, makes sense. The body horror, less so. That's more just 40K being 40K. But the storage of information and the way they've chosen to go about it completely is plausible given the hand that they're dealt. I could see the AdMech just looking at the hand they're dealt and just going, this is the best way to go about this. It's not the most efficient, but this is the most reliable way I can think of doing this.
It is the way.
Exactly. If you don't think that any of that is possible, this is all high theory and stuff, Russia's already doing it. I found this out when researching this. Slight side tangent.
Is this our foreign fracca? Did Russia win?
Actually, fun fact for YouTube stats. None of our... Actually, no. Not fun facts for stats in general. Pretty much none of our videos make it there.
No.
That's a fun little behind the scenes if you're creating content in...
Actually, I remember that because I remember one of our videos got, like, content claimed exclusively in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere else?
Getting content into Russia is very difficult at the moment. So if we do have Russian fans, say so in the comments.
Thank you for your support.
Because it won't tell me. I would assume you're using a VPN of some kind, because none of the major platforms will tell me if you're watching from Russia. Period. It's actually very interesting to see what that has done for communication and stuff. Just in and out. And now some companies have left some. We're really getting into the weeds.
That's in the weeds.
We're really getting into the weeds.
It's an odd topic. What, a topic for another time. What that matters? Serves its own episode.
Oh, God. What matters... That shirt's coming. Or hat. We haven't decided yet. What matters for the purposes of this discussion is Russia's church has slowly been getting intertwined with their nuclear armaments. So much so that before they're put into service, they are blessed by a priest and they're referred to as their guardian angels.
That's just the Mechanicus.
And they have a patron saint of nuclear arms. Saint Seraphim of Sarov. I really hope I'm not butchering that. I can't speak Russian. I do have Russian friends, but I can't speak it.
That's just...
To be fair, his remains, because the whole communist, they're very atheistic at the time, so anything vaguely religious was knocked down, boarded up, and stamped on. His remains were found later in a town that had been converted to nuclear research purposes, just buried beneath the test site. And so when they exhumed the remains and discovered who it was, they declared him the patron saint of nuclear arms, and he was a staunch pacifist. So I suppose if there ever was a patron saint of nuclear arms, you want him.
It'd be someone who would say, hey, can we exhaust all other options before we use this?
Exactly.
Honestly, that's also the perfect patron saint of nuclear arms. And what are let's think about this before we use this.
And what are the odds of a pacifist being buried under what would eventually become a nuclear test site? The statistical odds are so improbable.
Bizarre.
It's bizarre. But yes, they are slowly doing that, and that's why I think the ADMEC are so plausible.
They're plausible to not perfect, but plausible.
Such a bad hand in being in the Imperium, and it's not because the Imperium is, you know, this isn't an I can fix him situation. This isn't, oh, you know, it just needs one guy and everything will go back to the way it should be. Unless that one guy is Big E himself, it's going to continue being terrible. And so given that, organizing into a cult that worships machines and guards knowledge jealously isn't the most horrifically unstable way to do this. It would work, and it has worked pretty well for them, all things considered. Actually, funnily enough, the religion doesn't work like a lot of other ones tend to, where they proselytize outwards. You will never see an ADMEC at your door wearing a white shirt and tie.
I've seen their art. They don't wear a white shirt and tie. Usually they wear a red robe and a lot of metal.
Yeah, they tend to look like really bad cable management. They tend to look like really bad.
They do tend to look like the underside of my desk.
They will never be at your door knocking. They will never be handing out pamphlets. They will never be on TV. They work like old Roman cults used to, where it's an honor to be in there. It's an honor to be a part of the religion. They won't let anybody in, you know? So the only way you get to know more and more about their rites, rituals, and secrets is by advancing through the cult. And one of the only ways to do that is by getting and hoarding knowledge. Because they see knowledge as the ultimate expression of the divine. They think that... this is also why they hate experimentation. They think that everything... all knowledge already exists. We just gotta find it. There's nothing new. Don't bother. Just look to the past, because they already figured it out.
We already
the 80s had the best music, is what they're saying. That's the hill they're dying on.
I mean, to be fair,
we're not getting into that. We've had enough side tangents. But so they think that all knowledge is already present and everywhere. You just need to go out and locate it. So the way you advance through here is by going out and locating it and personally building up your own internal storage of knowledge. They don't revere like a 200 terabyte flash drive for storing a ton of information. They revere a person for doing that, because you need sentience in their eyes to be able to do that. It's also why they hate AI. That'll come in later. But
I mean, I can kind of see where that comes from. They're just like, we don't need data. We need knowledge.
Exactly.
We need the wisdom, not just zeros and ones. As much as we love the zeros and ones, you got to put the two together.
Actually, fun fact, they communicate in a weird version of binary. They call it binaric, and it's startlingly quick.
You know, I was playing, thank you to one of our patrons, by the way, you'll probably be seeing gameplay when I edit this, I was gifted Mechanicus a couple months ago, and I've been playing it, and one of the weirdest moments that, like, startled me was, like, you know, they've all got, like, voiced dialogue, and you know, it's like some garbles and like digital sounds and stuff, right? I'm like, oh, okay, they didn't have the budget to voice everything, so they just made Mechanicus sounds. But then the first Necron Lord you encounter just speaks English, and it's like, oh no, that's just their language.
No,
I
love that game, because it does a good job of showing the Mechanicus as opposed to Necrons, because throughout the game, even though the Necrons are actually soulless Egyptian Terminator bots,
the Mechanicus the
Mechanicus are the weird alien ones to us. These are things that are actually actively soulless. There's nothing in there.
And the Mechanicus and are more weird.
They seem more human than the Mechanicus do. I love how that game characterizes them, and I wish more... We talk about transhuman dread a lot, because 40K, there's a lot of things that'll put that fear in you. One of the things that would do it for me is just watching the Mechanicus run in, because they do have an internal army, And the way they're pictured occasionally is because you can transmit so much data in that language so quickly, they'll just arrive and lift their guns in unison and start firing. It'll be like you're fighting machines, effectively, where they'll run, and then no battle cry, no for the Omnissiah, no let's get those flash drives, just up, forward.
You just hear some like high-pitched like warbling, and then everybody starts firing in sync.
Perfectly in sync.
It's kind of like the Geth from Mass Effect. When you play the game, you hear them start like clicking and like warbling. It's because they're sending messages at faster than sound.
That's the
Mechanicus.
The Mechanicus are so alien, despite being closer to human than a lot of the aliens. It's fantastic.
It's so cool.
We need to talk about the specifics of their religion, though. This is going to get more pedantic than I like. Just because you know me. I've said this 101 times. We keep it light. We keep it breezy in this household. However, this is an important difference that I have to make. They worship the machine god and the Omnissiah. A lot of people use those interchangeably. They're not the same thing.
They're not.
No. The machine god is their... The easiest way to explain it is the relationship in the Islamic faith between Allah and Muhammad. Where there's one true god in their faith, in the Islamic faith. There's the one true god, Allah, and Muhammad was just a prophet. This isn't like in Christianity where it's the Father and the Son.
They're all one thing.
No. There's a clear distinction. So a lot of the Mechanicus believe in the machine god, but they think the emperor is the Omnissiah.
Mm-hmm.
So they still technically worship the emperor, but as a prophet of a greater god.
Okay.
Told you they get heretical.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
The Imperium can have a little heresy as a treat.
Yeah. So they accept and they also venerate him from a pure information standpoint. Because he's been alive for millennia. He knew a lot.
There's so much data in that head. Give it. I want it.
No, not even... Yeah, exactly. They see him as a being that contains a lot of knowledge. Therefore, a lot of divinity. So they venerate him. They would venerate him regardless just for that alone.
It's the knowledge.
Exactly. So that's how they subscribe and they stay loyal. They do believe in the emperor as a very high being. And they do venerate him. But they don't see him as the god emperor that everybody else does. It's pedantic, I know, but it's a key difference.
It's not that pedantic. It's just this is one thing, this is another thing.
Exactly.
Although that did correct a belief of mine, because I was one of those people using them interchangeably.
Mm-hmm. At the core, at the center of their belief, I told you, all information exists, and it's our job to go get it. So they go on crusades like everybody else, and they have a ton of priorities. They raid Necron too. They will go anywhere we could learn something, right? But they specifically target these things called STCs.
STCs. Do they have, is this the AdMex SCP Foundation?
No. What they are is it's a relic from my little dark age. it's a relic from the dark age, and it's difficult to fully pin down what it is. If you've ever played Subnautica, they have a wonderful example of what an STC would operate like. You know that machine you use to craft things that can craft anything with the materials on the planet?
The fabricator?
Exactly. They jettison an STC with any settlers back in the day to colonize new worlds, and it's a manufacturing machine that was paired with a massive database of the technology they had at the time, and together, they could use it as a weird, unholy combination of a 3D printer and a data bank to help set up on this planet and still have all the knowledge of everybody at that dark age. And maybe had AI in there too. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. An incredibly powerful one. An incredibly powerful one. And we have to talk about how they view those, because they will decimate you if you try and make AI. It's one of the things where no questions will be asked. You will just be black bagged. They don't call it artificial intelligence. They call it abominable intelligence.
Because it's not human.
It's the reason they entered the Dark Age. Humanity had become so reliant on their machines at the time that when they rose up, they basically didn't stand a chance. Though I'm not sure if it would be rising up against their creators, because the machines were so good at the time that it was machines creating and upgrading other machines. So I'm not sure about that, but whatever it was a huge problem. So much so that the Mechanicus doesn't play that game at all anymore.
They said, nope, not even once. But, AI, not even once.
But there are still repetitive tasks you need machines to do. So the way they get around that is they go down to your local jail, and they get either criminals, heretics, or just random people, sometimes free range or vat grown. They do vet lab grow them too. It's all about efficiency. Sometimes there's not enough people. We have to keep going.
I mean, makes sense. But the term free range human just... Yeah.
Sometimes free range humans. And they modify them into an automaton for what the task is by lobotomizing them.
Oh.
By lobotomizing them and using that as a platform to build a rudimentary machine that can do everything from scouting to day-to-day operations to slapping the Bone Bender 9000 on one of them and sending it forward to show your enemies what Twister the board game would look like as a weapon.
What the f***?
They have some really weird weapons, and they slap a ton of them on these machines that they create. The torsion cannon. The torsion cannon. It basically fires a bunch of gravitational waves at a person, all out of sync, and it just twists you up.
That's brutal.
It just twists you up.
That's awful and brutal. But the first thought I had when you said torsion engine is there's this fun subsection of the recent Shadow Wizard Money Gang meme of the 3D animated wizards with like spells on paper, and just like one of them is just like penis explosion, one of them is testicular torsion.
It would accomplish both of those tasks.
But just the ad mech, like, I sentence you to testicular torsion.
They have some
torsion cannon. Twist his balls.
Oh god. They have some ridiculous weaponry. That's just one of them. They have guns that just fire shells upon shells that will eventually just heavily radiate and soil the area, causing a radiation storm in the process. They are a lot.
They don't joke around.
Yeah, and they, like I said, this is the Imperium's most advanced branch. They will have some insane gear. But even for them, they hold these STCs in high regard. And you may be thinking that the whole AI hype is a bit much. I mean, this dark age was thousands of years ago, right? How bad
could it be?
Right. You may be thinking that they're a bit paranoid. I mean, the stories get exaggerated over time. How valuable could these STCs possibly be? And in one of the books, I think one of the first in Gaunt's Ghosts, they tell a story where two guardsmen, regular guardsmen, found an incomplete STC for a marginally better knife. Each was given a planet as a reward for finding that. Two regular dudes suddenly got, oh yeah, there you go, there's a planet. And the new knife design that was marginally better was immediately like adopted by 30 Space Marine chapters or something like that.
Huh.
That's how highly they value these things. It was touted as the greatest advancement in that century. Marginally better knives.
Marginally better knives.
They value those things above all else. If you could find a complete STC, you could get a system.
I mean, I love my Subnautica Fabricator. I don't know what I'd do without it.
But these things are incredibly powerful, and the Mechanicus has good reason to fear them. I mean, they found one of the functional AI, and it made every Space Marine stop moving nearby. It was able to halt, just jack into their armor and halt their movement.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah. AI are hilarious. They're... Again, this is why I really like the AdMech, because they're so very plausible. Everybody jokes that it's a weird religion that doesn't work at all, but then people pray about a gun and it works better. They aim a little better. And this, the way it works is the machine spirit is stronger the more complex and powerful the machine is. So, you know, if you anger the machine spirit in your gun, you might just start missing normal shots you should land. If you anger the machine spirit in a Titan...
That's a problem.
Titans have personalities in some cases. There are times when they've wanted to retreat and they just kept marching forward.
The Titan just said, nope.
Mm-hmm. We're going keep forward. Moving.
We keep moving.
Mm-hmm. Sure, it seems ridiculous to walk up to a 99 Honda Accord and praise, read the owner's manual with incense, but if the car starts afterwards,
then
who's wrong?
Who's wrong here? The mm-hmm. owner's manual or the dude who just rubbed incense all over my Honda Civic?
And now it works. They also get, in addition to that internal army, their own... Some tech marines stay, but they do get like their own tech marines. Mm. It's more like a specialty thing where, because you know, when you're out crusading, things break. You need somebody to fix it. So you're selected out of the bunch to be shipped to Mars sometimes to be trained under the Admech in their ways, how it works, and you come back, sometimes wearing the red paint of Mars even, and to denote who you are. Some see this as an honor. Oh, that's cool.
That's... I get to learn how machines work.
Others will be ostracized by their chapter when they get back.
So you learned about a god that's not the god emperor? How dare you? Heresy.
Pretty much, because you can't fix anything without that religion. Sure, they'll teach you basic maintenance, but basic maintenance,
the basic
involves
maintenance
holy oil.
Is religion.
You will be indoctrinated into that, so tech marines sometimes get isolated and sad, but they have incredibly cool armor with like Doc Ock arms going everywhere.
I love it.
And a lot of people who create models for them just kit bash them together. So they get so creative, it's beyond impressive. They also will slowly replace huge swaths of their flesh over time. Like I said, it's why they look like really bad cable management.
From the moment I understood the weakness of my flesh,
bingo,
I was disgusted by it.
Cool term for it called Crux Mechanicus, where it's the point where you've crossed the River Rubicon. You are more machine than man, which is a whole thing.
God, I wish.
You get promoted for that stuff.
God, I wish.
It's a whole thing. And if you're not into the most invasive things they do, one of the least... Keep in mind, one of the least invasive
things... It's the Mechanicum, so it's still invasive.
...is they drain all... they drain all of the blood in your body and replace it with a synthetic version that just works better for oxygen transport and actually helps you age better.
The least invasive
that is Mechanicum one of surgery. Their least invasive process is bloodletting. That is... Before we get into the weird and wild stuff they do, where you'll see tech priests with huge arms bolted on, mostly metal with loose cables everywhere. Part of this is because, again, they see sentience as a prerequisite to knowledge, right? They don't want data. They want, like what you were saying, brilliant way to put it. But they also see the loss of that as a catastrophic thing, because now we got to go get that again. So they try and prolong their lives as much as possible. To continue that journey and try and get more knowledge, but B, to also preserve it and keep it going.
It's the perfect fusion. It's like, well, that computer has the data, and I have the wisdom from being sentient. Let's just make them the same thing, and now I have both, and this is good.
And it's fantastic. That's the first reason you see their upgrades. But you might be wondering, hey, Isander, some of this artwork isn't really showing off upgrades, and it's just a gun mounted to his shoulder. And my counterpoint is...
God, I wish.
Don't you think you'd live longer with a gun mounted to your shoulder?
Yes.
You could correlate these things. Longer lifespan, shoulder-mounted cannons. I'm pretty sure that graph...
It's pretty directly correlated.
Yeah. They go hand in hand.
The lifespan to shoulder-mounted cannon graph, mm-hmm. they're the same line.
It's the same line. The Venn diagram's a circle.
The Venn diagram is a circle.
So that's why a lot of tech priests, you'll see them just kitted out with very interesting setups, interesting rigs. It also depends on what they're doing, you know. You'll notice some who take on the more administrative roles, their number crunchers, will have just hundreds of tendrils leaving everywhere, each gripping a pencil and just furiously writing everywhere. You will see the ones who study alien life having canisters on deck to get biological samples whenever needed. And why is the name of that escaping me? Monocles, I believe.
Monocles?
Yeah, like visors, different types of visors they can put on to basically x-ray things on the spot. It's they're The branch of the mech boys that studies aliens is beyond cool.
I love them all.
Yeah, and they're usually sent out with the Crusades because you're going to bump into weird stuff and you need them to catalog it and tell you if we've even seen this before. So it's how the Imperium first found out, we've lost a lot of Space Marines to Tyranids, and they seem to be getting tankier. Could these be related? Could these two things be related in any way? Let's find out next time.
Let's find out. Let's do some science.
Yeah. So that is why you will see... You can, with very few exceptions, you can tell the more high-ranking tech priests and the low-ranking ones, just because the low-ranking ones will look like, oh, I'm a cyberpunk soldier. This is neat. I'm going to wear red robes. And the really high-ranking ones are a mesh of cables, tendrils, and skin.
They're a mountain. They're a mountain of metal with a face on top and a red robe plopped over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. One of the prime ones is this guy called Call.
Belisarius Call.
He's incredibly cool. He's mostly metal, and he's actually a Gestalt. One of the two, I'm sure one of those is correct. Consciousness. So it's not just one brilliant mind.
It's like several in there.
Several minds that were either dying or decided to cross him, that he just absorbed their information.
Hey, you're me now.
And it's to do that, you have to be of incredible will, too, because this is a mind pressing against another mind. If yours is less so... Sorry, buddy.
It's not like a computer absorbed another brain. It's just like, no, that's another brain in there. I'm just like beating it until it listens to what I want to do.
Well, they still meld, but whoever winds up in charge after is determined by a sort of contest of wills. Mm.
That's what I mean.
One of the funniest ones is a guy who thought that he could get one up on Call, but the Emperor not only knew that he definitely couldn't, but was so certain he'd lose that he used him to pass a message to Call in the future. He was so certain you'd lose, he left a message when he was speaking to him that only Call would understand in the future.
So when Call absorbed him into the hive mind.
You were destined to lose. Call has so much knowledge in his mind. He occasionally needs to do, not a full factory reset, but like a light purge, just so he doesn't go insane. He's incredibly cool.
Basically an AI at this point. Hitting near rampancy.
Well, fun fact about that. He gave Gilliman this thing. I'm forgetting its name, and I can't find it. But he gave Call basically this mini version of Call that he could call on with pre-recorded answers. So if Gilliman ever needed help, that the guy currently running the Imperium.
He could like poke the bobblehead of Call and just like...
He could pull the string and Call would go, he'd say a line basically.
The magic conch.
He gave Gilliman a mouth.
The magic conch.
That's terrible. And yet you're the only person I've ever heard call it that. So we'll call it the magic conch. Yes, that's exactly right. This thing, in theory, on paper, is just Call recording himself to Gilliman. That's it. However, why has it lied to him before?
What?
Why has this magic conch expressed emotion and sorrow before?
What?
Yeah.
That's at least a dumb AI.
I have to give credit to Deptus Ridiculous, because the best way they expressed Gilliman finding this out is just, "Hey, Call! Hey, Call! Is this an AI?
Is this an AI? What? No, that's not allowed.
I would never.
Call! Call! What have you done?"
That's basically what he's doing. So yes, he's so confident in his abilities that he's definitely working on AI on the side.
Oh. I mean, I've seen pictures of him. Mm-hmm. He looks huge.
He towers over Gilliman in some of the art, which is
staggering. He's huge. That's a lot of processing power right there, and that's a lot of brain knowledge.
Powered by NVIDIA. But yes, that is
how many Quadro cards does he have in there?
A lot. He is one of the few in there who's okay with experimentation, much to the chagrin of a lot of different people, and he was tasked with a really difficult job, which was, hey, the Emperor's whole Space Marine project, make it better. It took him 10,000 years, but he did make it better.
He figured it out. He figured it out.
I gotta give him credit. He did make them marginally better. So the Admech are capable of a lot, and they have a lot of interesting ways their story could go from now. We could see more of their private army, you know, and stuff like that. We could see them interacting with that new wannabe Chaos God with dominion over machinery. That would be cool. I want to see more of the Dark Mechanicus.
Void Dragon could pop out of Mars and they could go,
oh,
the Machine God!
I almost forgot to mention that. Yeah, 40K is weird and wild. So the Machine God might just be an old ancient dragon that the Emperor wrestled and hid under Mars to help them advance. It's a real thing. It's a real possible thing.
It's a real possibility that there's an ancient Necron god under the surface of Mars that could just be the Machine God.
Could just be the Machine God. Who knows? It would work because the Machine God and the Omnissiah are separate, so.
If the Mechanicum start dressing in green, we know what happened.
That would be very amusing. I would love to see that.
No, just imagine they roll up in green one day and like, Gilliman's... What happened to the red? That's a complete... Mars hasn't been green for a couple, like, thousand years. What are you guys doing? They're just like, we found the Machine God.
We found him.
We did some digging.
I think...
Literally.
I think the Necrons would be befuddled by them because they were conned into becoming soulless machines. You're doing this on purpose. We were baited, collectively. We were collectively pranked into doing this. Why are you doing this to yourself willingly? We want out. Why do you want in?
From all I've seen from the interactions between like the Necrons and the Mechanicum in the game, Mechanicus, that's the attitude they seem to have. All of the Necron characters seem to be just like, you guys are idiots if you want what we've got. Like, I'm just going to put you out of your misery so you don't get what you want. As a favor. Trust me.
Well, and the problem is, it's easy for the Necrons to say that, but they're also the ones who literally screwed up the entire universe just to not die of cancer. So, it's easy for them to say that now that they're immortal, but if they weren't, maybe they'd be singing a different tune.
To be fair, nobody expects the monkey's paws to curl. No, excuse me. Nobody expects the finger on the monkey's paw to curl.
I was going to say, I don't think the entire paw curls.
I mean,
that'd be odd. Could you imagine you make a wish and then you see all four curl? I'd be terrified.
What just happened? What is about to happen to me?
Yeah, I'm not going to. This isn't going to end well. Oh, also, remember that I mentioned they will lobotomize people randomly to make AI?
Yes.
Occasionally, they'll do that with vat-grown babies.
With what?
Vat-grown babies.
Oh.
Yeah, they just have flying feral AI children.
Oh, they do the Matrix thing.
to look like cherubs, basically. In a really messed up way.
It's a bit morbid and psychotic, but...
Oh, very. But again, it's you know, it's not free range. I would say that's ethically sourced at that point. Because you did vat grow it, so...
Vat grow it.
Yeah, exactly. Of all the factions in 40K... Well, actually, no. If I had to join... If there's any faction I understand how they got there so easily and is hilariously probable, I would say it's the Mechanicus. They have, I'm not going to say reasonable goals, reasonable in the framework that they're in.
Yeah, they make sense for where they're at.
It makes sense. And it's also something that could, I'll be honest, the odds of a massive schism happening, causing us to lose a ton of information and sending us back, is far more likely than any of us growing to more than 10 feet tall, wearing gold clad armor, and creating massive, massive space marines. That's just not going to happen in my lifespan. But massive tech schism could. So I find them to be... God, it's so ridiculous when you say it out loud, because the most grounded is still people who boil oceans away.
Yeah, to make bigger factories.
It shows a complete scale.
But I mean, I guess we've all played Satisfactory here, so we know.
I have for sure.
Whatever you can do to make more conveyor belts, it's just gonna happen.
Yeah, it's just gonna happen. So that wraps up the episode on the Mechanicum. It is kind of like a high level overview. Obviously, we didn't go super in-depth into any one thing, because There's a lot of stuff here that could be its own episode.
They're basically their own Imperium, like you said.
Yeah, their own army could be their own episode. Like, because a lot of the models on the tabletop are made up of that army, the Skitarii. A lot of them are made up of that army, the Skitarii. So you will see their models a lot. They're very cool. Fun fact about them, they can never shut their eyes. They have these enclosures basically stitched onto their eyes with fluid in there. But they also cut off your eyelids.
They're doing the whole Clockwork Orange thing of just like...
Well, because you're constantly reporting data to your supervisor and you can't blink. That's data missing.
Yeah.
Even though, I suppose in theory, what are the odds of everyone blinking at once? Then you lose all data, but they're data.
But horror. Then you have to deal with the logistics of like one guy saw one thing and the other guy saw another thing. And it's just like, okay, well, whose story is the problem? Well,
they have quite a bit of computational power. Like I said, they're very in sync. So it wouldn't be difficult. But yeah, the Skitarii could be their own episode. The Tech Priest definitely could be their own episode. Call could be his own episode. The Mechanicus, Mars alone could be its own episode.
They're their own Imperium.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to break down here, but that's quick and dirty. That's the general vibe. It's a plausible dark future.
They're so cool. That's all I have to say. Love the Mechanicus.
I figured you would.
I love the Mechanicus. I've been like a weird, like cyberpunky, like I want a robot arm since I was a kid. When I saw the Mechanicus and they're like, oh, you got 5 robot arms. Who cares if that's an odd number? There's one extra one for a gun.
That's it.
And it's like, sign me up.